very much, and I think about in terms of God loving people more than anything. You know, we think often of the neglected ones. You know, we can think about in our neighborhood or our family. It's easy to ignore these, and often, you know, we can think of that in terms of people groups. My name is Patrick Coffey, and I'm also attend Allegheny Center Alliance Church downtown Pittsburgh, and I'm an elder there. But more important is reaching out to Christ through GNews, which basically reaches out to Muslims for Christ. And, you know, we think a lot about that in the news. We just kind of get sick and tired of hearing that. We want to hear nice songs and, you know, things like that, and just want our life to be nice and easy. But the Lord, you know, often says, and I was trying to find the scripture, but, you know, it's easier to say hi to someone who you know is going to say hi back to you. But the ones who are not going to say hi back to you, it's a little bit harder to do that. And there's more reward with that. Not that we shouldn't be friendly as well, but also to reach out to those. And so with the GNews reaching out to Muslims for Christ, we support native missionaries in the hard-to-reach countries who are reaching out to Muslims for Christ, because a lot of times that's like a gold mine, is someone who is already in the country and can relate to everybody, can reach out successfully for Christ there. And so that's what GNews is about, reaching out. And we are involved in over 20 countries and multiple mission teams in these native places in terms of the missionaries. And we've got a lot of literature in the back. It's all free. We're here to serve you, because we know in the Pittsburgh region there's over 13 mosques, you know, all over. So, and we can even think of Monrovo. I know there's a mosque there, a very active one. And so to be able to reach out to these the Muslims, or even to be praying for our brothers, or which we'll hear about, one group that's often forgotten is our Palestinian Christian brother, Bassam, and his wife Hiam. And he's been reaching out for over 25 years in the Palestinian, the West Bank area. And it's very confusing in the news. You hear about Israel, the West Bank, Gaza Strip. I mean, since he's been here, he's educated me a lot. And it's, you know, I guess just a joy to hear about this, and also troubling and challenging. So I know he's going to challenge us and encourage us, and we want to do the same as well, as he has reached out to many Muslims in all sorts of conditions. But he has been a faithful witness. And so we want to encourage him, and I just want to hear from one of the forgotten groups is our Palestinian Christian and brothers and sisters, and we have a couple right here. So Bassam will be giving you a word and a perspective from a Palestinian Christian. So thank you.
Sabah al khair. Strange. Nobody responded. Sabah al khair. So you don't understand what I'm saying. I am saying simply good morning in my language. So, sabah al khair. Well, I understand people don't understand Arabic. But let me tell you, one day everyone will speak Arabic. Oh, no. Yes. You know why everybody will speak Arabic one day? Because it takes eternity to learn Arabic. You will get it there. One day you'll speak Arabic. Yeah, it's good to be here. And I want to thank you, Pastor Bob, thank church congregation, for the neighbors even coming today, that you are giving a Palestinian to speak with you. I know it's very touchy. What you hear from the news here in the States, whether it's CNN or Fox News or local news, it's always, you hear negative reports, right? All rockets, fighting, killing, destruction, bloodshed, suicide bombers. This is the news you hear about our country. Am I right or wrong? Right? But today I'm trying, I hope, I ask the Lord, use me to bring some good news. Shall we agree on that? Good. So, thank you. It's true, yes, there are bad news in the Holy Land. Let me tell you simply, also God is still on the throne, and God is still working in that very land. And God loves that land. And as a way of sharing this morning, I would love all of us just to stand and read the words from this gospel. In our culture, in my church, whenever we read the gospel, we stand. So can we do that? And please open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, the first four verses, please. Matthew chapter 8, the first four verses. I hope that I'm not reading from a different translation. In our culture, all of Bible-believing Christians use only one translation. There are 21 translations in Arabic, but all other churches will use them. But all the evangelicals will read from one translation, so we don't have this confusion maybe you have here. I hope you excuse me, but I'm reading from ESV. This is a translation. I don't know if you use it here. You do. Okay. Matthew chapter 8. The first four verses. When he came down from the mountain, that is Jesus, when Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. Go and offer the gift according to the law. Lord God, I thank you for this story here of your compassion being shown to this leper, to this person, by healing them. And today, Lord, many of us may be here. I don't know. I'm just a visitor here. But you know, each one of us, maybe we have a kind of problem. And Lord, you can stretch your hand and touch us and give us healing and give us joy in your presence, Lord. Bless the church, bless the pastor, the leadership, and give us all of us today to enjoy your Holy Spirit, your forgiveness, your love that is for all of us, Lord. Thank you, and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Please keep your Bible open because I will read the Bible a lot. I will just keep referring to this passage. If you look at the first few words, when he came down from the mountain, Jesus came down from the mountain. So, if we go back to chapter 5, 6, and 7, we see Jesus on the mountain. The mountain still exists there. If you have been to the Holy Land, when you go to the Sea of Galilee, north of the Sea of Galilee, there is a mountain. It's called the Mountain of Beatitudes. Jesus was there in that mountain. And he gave the famous message. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, right? So after giving that message, the Sermon on the Mount, here we read that he came down from that mountain. So we are putting the message in context. And then what we read, hear these words, great crowds followed him. Great crowds. Again, where are we now in this passage? In the very land of Jesus. We are in the Holy Land during the time of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, and we see what? Great crowds followed him. Wow. Great crowds. What do you think today? Are there great crowds following Jesus in the land of Jesus? What do you think? Do you have an idea? Let me tell you. If you go these days to the Holy Land, and really try to know what's going on, you will be shocked. In the Holy Land today, there are two nations. You have Palestinians and you have Israelis. The Israelis are Jews. And I guess all of you know that the Jews today, the Jews of today, are still waiting for their Messiah to come. We know that. So for them, that person who lived 2,000 years ago, that Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, he was not the Messiah. They are still waiting for the Messiah to come. So the Jews do not believe in Jesus. You know that, right? Now, so here in the Holy Land today, there are 13 million people. 13 million. 6.5 million Jews are still waiting for the Messiah to come. And all of us know that he did come. That Jesus who lived in the first century, this Jesus we just read in Matthew 8, he was the promised Messiah. So here we have 6.5 million people who still don't believe in Jesus as their promised Messiah and still waiting for him. On the other hand, in the Holy Land, we have 6.5 million Palestinians. So it's almost 50-50. Many people in the West, and I have discovered this in the States, they don't know that in the land of Jesus, of course, all of us here in America would say in Israel. Well, Israel, whatever you call it, Israel, the Holy Land, I prefer to call it the land of Jesus. In the land of Jesus, two nations, the Jews are still waiting for Jesus, and the other half of the population, 6.5 million people, are Palestinians. And let me tell you, only 1% of the Palestinians are Christians. And the rest are Muslims. And Muslims, I think you know, Muslims, they deny Jesus as God in flesh. They deny that he died on the cross for our sins. They deny the Trinity, that God is one in three, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. So Jews and Muslims both share one common thing, that both are rejecting Jesus. Both don't believe in Jesus. In other words, we have 13 million lost souls in the very land of Jesus. It breaks my heart that in the very land of Jesus, these days, there are very, very few people who believe in Jesus. Imagine. Here we see crowds following him. We don't know whether they were believers or not, but at least they followed him. You know, in our country, people are not following Jesus. In the contrary, many curse Jesus. Many hate those who believe in Jesus. And they wish that we would disappear from the face of the earth. And you know what also hurts me as a Palestinian Christian? That when you, brothers and sisters, when Americans come to the Holy Land because they want to visit the land of the Bible, because everything happened there, they want only to walk where Jesus walked. They want to visit the dead shrines. And by the way, in our country, there are all kinds of dead shrines. There are 3,000 historical sites, archaeological sites. People want to see the Sea of Galilee, the Church of the Nativity, Capernaum, or the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Via Dolorosa, the Way to the Cross, all these historical sites, the Shepherd's Field, and very few of these tourists, Christians, who come to the Holy Land and who visit these dead stones, will stand and say, well, are there living stones? You know, in the scripture, in the letter of Peter, he says that the Christian, the church, is a living stone. And many people don't care. I live in the heart of the Shepherd's Field, as Pastor said. There, next to our door, just one block, there is ruins of a church that was built in the 4th century. It's destroyed. And people want to see the Church of the Shepherds. It's the shepherds who were the first people who saw Jesus in his manger. They wanted to visit these dead stones. Nobody would step out after seeing these dead stones and say, are there people here, living here, who follow Jesus? I have never seen any to this very day. I'm now 57. They just want to walk where Jesus walked, as if it's a special blessing. You will not be blessed if you don't believe in Jesus. You will not have eternal life if you walk where Jesus walked. You will be blessed if you believe in the person of Jesus, not in the place where he walked. You have to take him as Lord and Savior. I'm sorry to tell you that in the very land of Jesus, we, the small community of Bible-believing Christians, are very much neglected, unknown, unseen even. People don't care. I was thrilled to hear that pastor talked about that God is love. Is it true? Is God love? So maybe God is love, but not maybe for everybody. But well, my God is love, and his love is all-inclusive. John 3:16, what do we read in John 3:16? For God so loved the world. It includes me. It includes me, a Palestinian. Oh, yes, but you are an Arab. You people are backward. You are terrorists. You are killers. Please. When you give a general description of a whole nation, you are committing a crime. You know what people say about Americans in our country? They will say, these Americans are criminals. These Americans are drug abusers, child abusers. They are homosexuals and lesbians, and they do drugs. Will you buy this? All Americans? Yes, you have some who do sins, but the majority are great people. It's the same way. We have people who are living in sin and commit sin, but you are talking of a whole nation. There are 15 million Palestinians on planet Earth. Only 6.5 million on Palestine. The rest are in diaspora. And they're just people like you and me. Or maybe we read Genesis 1:27 in a wrong way. My Bible says in Genesis 27, and God created man. It doesn't read, and God created the Americans and the Jews only. God created everybody. And he loves everybody. Do we say amen to that? Thank you. God created everybody. And he loves everybody, whether you are white or black, Jew, Palestinian, Russian, from Nigeria, from wherever you come. There is only one creator. And he created out of his love because he wants to have company, fellowship with us. And if you believe in Jesus, one day you will be with him forever. And let me tell you, whether you accept us as Palestinian Christians or not, one day you will accept us because we will spend eternity together in heaven. So start accepting us right now, here on planet Earth. Amen? We are all people. All of us are lost. As Isaiah put it in Isaiah 53, we are all lost. But God put our sins on his shoulders, on the shoulder of Jesus. I just thank him that he loves me. He includes me in his salvation. He died for my sins, and I just love him. And I want to tell people about his love for everyone, the Muslim and the Jew. The pastor said that, you know, we are caught between the majority of the Jews and the majority of Muslims. And we are just a minority. And even the Christians in the Holy Land, most of the Christians in the Holy Land are Greek, Orthodox, or Catholics. And the Bible-believing Christians, Palestinian Bible-believing Christians, we are only 7,000 people. Literally, we are a salt in that land. Just a small minority. And by the grace of God, we are still there. And by the grace of God, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to witness to the Greek Orthodox people, to the Muslims, and to the Jews about the love of Jesus. That Jesus loves them. That Jesus wants them to know him as their Lord and their Savior. So pray for the remnant. Literally, we are a remnant in that land. Remember this story when Elijah met with this wicked king, Ahab, and his wife, Jezebel. And before that, even Elijah said, I am the only one. God said, no, there are 7,000 souls that didn't bow to Baal. And there are 7,000 believers in that land. Out of what? 13 million. It's a heathen land. You know, just think about it. The very land of Jesus, there are extremely very few people who believe in Jesus. And we need you, as brothers and sisters, to pray for the church in Palestine, in the Holy Land. The church would remain there I hope that one day you will never visit only empty churches, but you will see these churches are full of people from different backgrounds, from Jewish background, from Palestinian background, coming together as brother and sister, worshiping the same Lord and the same Savior, Jesus Christ. Great multitude, 2,000 years followed him. Very few are following him these days in that land. Can it be changed? Could it be changed? I believe so. And I claim that. And this is the logo of our ministry. We call our ministry in the Holy Land Roots. That we are praying to claim the land back to Jesus. And he can do it. If we unite in praying for that land. It's not about land. It's not about who will take the land, whether the Israelis or the Palestinians. Because even if the Israelis will take the land, or the Palestinians will take the land, then without Jesus, so what? They are doomed to hell. The only thing we need, every one of us, the most important thing we need is to know Jesus, to get saved, and then we'll have eternal life. Here, Jesus came down, followed by him. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. Oh, sorry. Then what we read in verse 2, look at verse 2 together. And behold, a leper came to him. Who came to Jesus? A leper. Now, leprosy was a common disease in the first century Palestine or the Holy Land. And according to the laws of Moses, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, we read, if somebody, a man or a woman, will become a leper, according to the law, they have to leave their community. They have to leave their towns, villages, cities, and be isolated. Live far away in mountains and caves. They were not allowed to live amongst people because leprosy is contagious. So they were not allowed to live in community. And the law of Moses says that if a leper would leave his or her isolated cave and come back to the village, the people of the village were even commanded to take stones and throw that person to death. That's the law. Because that person might spread the disease to everybody. So that a leper was not allowed to come back and be amongst people. But here we see that a leper coming to Jesus. Well, a leper person is living far away in caves and mountains. He came to Jesus. Then we understand that he did hear about Jesus. Even people who were far isolated did hear about Jesus. You know, it's a challenge for us. Did your neighbor who lives next door hear about Jesus? Did you take a time to reach out to them? I believe somebody took the time to go out and tell these people, there is hope for you. There is this man, Jesus Christ. If you come to him, you could be healed. And leprosy in the Bible represents sin. But this man was physically a leper. But maybe your neighbor is living in sin, whatever that sin is. But can you reach out to them and tell them, hey, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and you will be forgiven. You will get saved. You will get for eternal life. Whatever your problem is, just come to Jesus. This person heard about Jesus. But we are now somehow becoming lukewarm. We don't care. Whether our neighbor living in sin, whether our neighbor is careless, doesn't go to church, doesn't know about Jesus, we won't tell them. I thank the Lord. Somebody told that person who was living away. This is a lesson for us to reach out to our neighbors, to our people, just to love them and tell them, come to Jesus. I believe that somebody told him, come to Jesus, and you will have your problems be solved. He is the Lord of the universe. He is God in flesh. And he is still yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He would never change. He who saved that leper and cleansed him, he can cleanse us even today and tomorrow. Because he is God. He's my God. And I hope he is also your God.
And this is what we preach to our people. Muslims, physically, they are far away from the Lord. And the Lord gave me this passion, this love for them. I do love them. And that's why I go. I don't go because Jesus said go. No, that's okay. Yes, I full obey Jesus. But if you go and you don't have love in your heart, then don't go. Because Jonah did go. God asked this prophet from the Old Testament to go. You know what? If you read the book of Jonah. And Jonah did obey. In the beginning, he didn't. He even tried to run away. But God gave him a lesson. And he went out. And he preached the gospel to the people of Nineveh. There were 100,000 people. But down in his heart, there was hatred. And he wanted to see them being destroyed. Even after preaching to them, repent, come to God, and God will save you. Still, he went up and sat on a mountain waiting. When will you, God, destroy them? Sometimes we say, yes, I'm going to preach the gospel to Muslims. But deep in our hearts, we are waiting, God, destroy them. This spirit is a spirit of hatred. And we need to repent. See, when we go out of love, not out of duty. Love people. Love your neighbor. Because God is love. Even God, Jesus, what did Jesus say? In Matthew 5, love your enemies. Well, suppose I'm your enemy. Please love me. Please love me. Can you love your neighbor? Can you love maybe your brother or sister? Because sometimes, we are Christians, but we don't talk with our brothers, physical brothers or maybe spiritual brothers. We are called to love and reach out to people. Someone reached out to that leper. And that leper took the step out. He knew it might mean the end of his life. Because that leper was a Jew, and he knew to come back to the community to be with people might kill him. And you know, for a Muslim, to come out of Muslim community and come to Jesus, they know it might be the end of their life. Because the penalty of apostasy in Islam is death. And still, let me give you the good news. There are hundreds of Muslims in the Holy Land coming out of Islam and having the courage to come and accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I myself have baptized hundreds of them. And God used me to reach out to them. And I will continue doing that. Because that's my passion. That's my love to the lost souls. And I pray, Lord, give this passion to everyone here. That they might go and preach the gospel to America. Because America is also a mission field. I have heard only 30 to 35% only Americans go to church Sunday morning. So what are you doing? Church, what are you doing? Go out. Tell them that if you have fun. Yesterday I was shocked. I was downtown Pittsburgh. And many buses were going to see this game. It's their God. The football or whatever. Baseball. No, it's not their God. It's a way to take them away from the real God. It's idolatry. Literally. Go out. Tell your people about the love of Jesus. Tell them about sin. That they're living in sin. And they need Jesus. Because without Jesus, there is no eternal life. In the contrary, there is eternal punishment. This leper came. And it's amazing that nobody touched him. Nobody threw a stone. Maybe because Jesus was there. So the majesty and the presence of the Lord maybe kept their hands and their evil thoughts from killing that person. So he came to him. And see what he said. He knelt before Jesus saying, and let's repeat the prayer of that person. What did he say? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. See, there are four elements in this prayer. Let me tell you, this is my favorite prayer in all of the Bible. This is my favorite prayer. And I pray this prayer almost daily. Lord, if you will, you can make me clear. There are four points in this prayer, four components. The first one, Lord. He addressed the Lord directly. You know what's the problem in our church? I told you, the majority of Christians in our country are Greek Orthodox and Catholics. And Jesus said, come to me. Even when he taught in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, Father. But you know what's the problem with the majority of Christians in the Holy Land? Because they are Orthodox and Catholics. Instead of coming directly to the Lord, they would go, Saint Peter, Saint Paul, Mary, Mother of God. As if God has a mother. I'm sorry. But anyhow. Because when we say Mother of God, because we know God, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, she is the Mother of the Trinity. Please, she's the Mother of our Lord Jesus. But now, this is not my point. They won't come to the Lord Himself. He came and addressed the Lord. If you have any problem, come to Jesus directly and confess Him as your Lord. This leper, this man who lives in misery, away from his family, from the community, maybe he wasn't married and had children, who was living a miserable life. He knew if he would come to Jesus, then there would be a solution. And he addressed Jesus as Lord. Is Jesus your Lord this morning? Can you call him Lord? If he is Lord, then you have to live according to his Lordship. That he is Lord of everything you do. Even what you see in TV, what you say, what you do, what you eat, what you dress, in every aspect of your life, let him be your Lord. That's who is Jesus. He is Lord. And this leper addressed him, Lord. Wow! Sometimes, yeah, we say we are Christians, but we really don't take Jesus as our Lord. No. These things I want to do my way. Yes, I know Jesus wants this, but let me do it my way. Let Jesus be your Lord. And believe in it and claim it. So he said, Lord. And then what he said, if you will. In other words, when you pray, first address the Lord, then pray according to the will of God. Sometimes we pray according to our own wants. And our own desires and our own will and not the will of God. He said, if you will. You know, if you pray not according to the will of God, God will never hear you. Sometimes I hear Christians, oh Lord, please, this man is giving me trouble. Get rid of him. Is that the will of God? The will of God is to save that person. The will of God that you repent and love that person. Whenever you pray, remember to pray according to the will of God. You, as a church this morning, you recited the Lord's Prayer. And what's written there? Thy will be done. Did that leper hear Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer? Actually, Jesus taught that prayer just in the previous chapters, in chapter 6. I don't think that leper was among the crowds in the mountains. But still, as if he heard the Sermon on the Mount. Because his prayer was according to the will of God. And I believe the will of God, Paul make it very clear. And if you read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, there we have a description of the will of God. The will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. The will of God is perfect. So please, when you pray, pray according to the will of God. And you know, what is the will of God for my people at least? The will of God, it's very clear in 1 Peter. In 1 Timothy, there's the will of God. God wills that all people, every person will get saved. That no soul will get perished, but they would know Jesus and have eternal life. This is the will of God. The will of God for every one of us is good. The will of God for us is to know Him. The will of God for us is to obey Him and live according to the Scripture. So are you willing, living according to the will of God of your will? Are you submitting to the will of God? Do you pray according to the will of God? This leper put us on shame because he was following and trying to reach and achieve the will of God in his life. So the first one, he addressed Jesus as Lord. The second one, he submitted to the will of God. What was the third one? He said, Lord, if you will, you can. You can. In other words, he acknowledged Jesus. It's a statement of faith. He acknowledged that Jesus, our Lord, is all almighty. and He can do things. Do you believe in that? Can Jesus heal you? Can Jesus give you forgiveness? Can Jesus give you a better life? Can Jesus really take you out of your misery and give you the joy of the Lord in your heart? Can you, Jesus do that? Do you believe in that? That man did believe. He said, you can. What a great statement of faith from this man. You can. Jesus can change the face of America. These people who are living in sin, He can bring them back to Him. These people, these criminals, these people living in misery, full of hate, full of anger, the Lord can give them peace and patience and love and the will to accept the other, regardless of that other who is, regardless of anything, because that is God. He said this statement of faith, you can. And today Jesus can. Jesus can change our hearts to love one another, to love our neighbors, to love other people, to accept them the way Jesus accepts them. And I thank the Lord that He can also change the face of the Holy Land, that the Jews could be saved, the Palestinian Muslims could be saved. And then, instead of this language of hatred between Palestinians and Israelis, Jesus can change their hearts so they would engage in a language of love and acceptance and reconciliation. He can, because He is Lord and He is still on His throne. And what was the fourth point in his prayer? He said, make me clean. In other words, he spelled his needs. So when you come to the Lord, don't pray a general prayer. Tell the Lord, what is your need? That person told the Lord what was his need. He needs healing. He said, make me clean. And you know, all of us need to be clean. Maybe you have a hidden sin. Maybe you have a kind of prejudice, bigotry, hatred, rejection. Nobody knows except the Lord. And every one of us this morning, we can, all of us, any one of us can pray this morning, Lord, if you will, you can cleanse me from my sins. You can heal my shortcomings. What a great prayer. I pray this for my people. Lord, if you will, save my people. Open the eyes of Muslims. They live in deception. They follow a false God. Open their eyes that they would know you. They would know that how much you love them to the point of death, the death on the cross. Jesus can. He can bless you if you come to Him with faith. Address Him as your Lord. Submit to His will. And you know, did Jesus answer him or didn't? Look after that. You know, to touch a leper, if you stretch your hand and touch a leper, usually the disease will come from that leper to you because it's contagious. But when Jesus stretched his hand and touched that leper, did Jesus become a leper himself? Read that passage. What happened? What happened? We read here very clearly. Then, and Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. He touched him. Wow. What a great act of love. And many of us are abandoned. We feel very lonely. And we need a touch of love. We need somebody to stand with us and tell us, we care. We love. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us alone. And you are ready now. Jesus is ready now to stretch his hand out to tell you, I love you. I care about you. I created you. I died for your sin. You are created in my image. And I love you. And I want you to come and be with me forever. Jesus stretched his hand. But instead of disease coming to Jesus, healing came out of Jesus to that person. Wow. But because what we read, literally what we read, immediately. Listen to this. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you come to Jesus, immediately your sins by His blood will be cleansed because He is God, because He loves you. This is my prayer. Lord, touch my people who are living in pain. There is too much hatred in their hearts, rejection because of their difficult situation. and the Lord can heal them. And the Lord can heal America. It's a great nation. Your nation is a great nation. But I saw also there are, you know, these shortcomings. And the Lord can change your nation as well as my nation. He can. He can stretch His hand, the hand of love, the hand of leading, the hand of caring. And we are, all of us are also called to stretch out and embrace people. And many of us, deep in their hearts, feel lonely, forgotten, there is pain. Show some love to somebody and see the results. See the joy in their faces. Wow. This is the mission of the church, to be agents for the Lord, to tell them, to tell the world about the love of Jesus, that how much He loved us. He died for our sins. Immediately, His leprosy was cleansed. This is my prayer this morning. Lord, I pray that You will cleanse all of us from any negative feeling or thoughts or ideas, and that we can embrace people. As a Palestinian Christian who is very much neglected by other Christians, Lord, I beseech You, stretch Your hand and touch us. Encourage us so we can continue living in the land of Jesus and be a light for Jesus in that land. Stretch Your hands towards your neighbors. Love them. Come to Jesus and address Him as Lord. I submit to Your will. And ask Him your need. Spell your need. Don't pray general prayers. Be specific. I need this, Lord. I need power. Not to be ashamed of the gospel, but go out and share the gospel in this age where there's so much sin. Too much. I mean, it's unbelievable. Sin is almost prevailing. But God can change the course of history. This is my God. Take Him as your Lord and your God. Thank you very much.